Welcome to another edition of the Health First Show. I'm your host, Dave Fuller. We're going to be talking with Brad King today. He's going to be talking about his newest book, Dirty Diets, exposing the dietary lies that are keeping you from looking and feeling your best in the first half of the show. And in the second half of the show, we're going to be talking with Rosemary Pierce. She is Canada's leading she's not a naturopath, she's a pharmacist. So she's a natural pharmacist. So we'll be talking with her about how you can get rid of some of that joint pain. But before we do that, here's Reg with the health news.
A new study argues many older people with diabetes may be exposed to potential harm because doctors are trying to keep overly tight control of their blood sugar levels. Researchers found nearly two-thirds of older diabetics who are in poor health have been placed on a diabetes management regimen that strictly controls their blood sugar, aiming at a targeted hemoglobin A1C level of less than 7%. But the researchers say these patients are achieving that goal through the use of medications that place them at greater risk of hypoglycemia, a reaction to overly low blood sugar that can cause abnormal heart rhythms and dizziness or loss of consciousness. Tight diabetes control does not appear to benefit the patients, the researchers report, January 12th in JAMA Internal Medicine. Higher vitamin D levels in patients with advanced colon cancer appear to improve response to chemotherapy and targeted anti-cancer drugs, researchers say. The researchers found those patients survived one-third longer than patients with lower levels of vitamin D, an average of 32.6 months compared with 24.5 months. The report, presented at the Gastrointestinal Cancer Symposium in San Francisco, adds more weight to suspicions that vitamin D might be a valuable cancer-fighting supplement. However, the study only found an association between vitamin D levels and colon cancer survival rates. It did not prove cause and effect. Though it's never been scientifically confirmed, conventional wisdom has it that winter is the season of sniffles. Now, new animal research seems to back up that idea. It suggests as internal body temperatures fall after exposure to cold air, so too does the immune system's ability to beat back the rhinovirus that causes the common cold. The researchers discuss their findings in the current issue of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. To explore the potential relationship between internal body temperatures and the ability to fend off a virus, the research team incubated mouse cells in two different temperature settings. One group of cells was incubated at 37 degrees Celsius to mimic the core temperature found in the lungs, and the other at 33 degrees Celsius to mimic the temperature of the nose. Fluctuations in internal body temperatures had no direct impact on the virus itself, but it was the body's indirect immune response to the virus that differed, with a strong response observed among the warmer lung cells and a weaker response observed among the colder nasal cells. And finally, whole grains are recommended as part of a healthy diet. Now there may be even more reason to add them to your daily menu. A new study concludes eating more whole grains may lower your risk of dying, especially from heart disease. Researchers looked at the dietary intake of more than 74,000 women and nearly 44,000 men who were followed over a span of more than two decades. After analyzing the data, they found eating more whole grains was associated with lower total mortality and lower risk of dying from cardiovascular disease. The authors estimate each daily serving of 28 grams of whole grains is associated with 5% lower total mortality or 9% lower cardiovascular mortality.
Thanks for that, Reg. Well, our first guest, Brad King, is a nutritional researcher and the author of 11 books, including international bestsellers Fat Wars, Bioaging, and Beer Belly Blues. His latest book, Dirty Diets, Exposing the Dietary Lies That Are Keeping You From Looking and Feeling Your Best, is a great book. And Brad, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much for having me again, Dave.
So, you know, a lot of people are, this time of year, are thinking about what they should be doing better. A lot of people are considering losing weight. I was talking to a fellow yesterday who said he had lost 50 pounds using an app for his phone that was helping him, monitor what he was eating.
Right.
Do these kind of apps work well?
Well, you know, it depends. Like, for certain individuals, there's a prime example. Yes, they do. You know, it really depends on how regimented an individual you are. Are you someone that can follow a specific way of training? If something reminds you constantly what you're doing wrong, are you going to do it right? Yes, there are certain individuals that are going to be able to follow that. And then again, there are other individuals that, you know, you can't really keep their attention very well, so they're not going to be able to follow something like that. But I think if we do have certain things that are a constant reminder, and, you know, it could be as simple as reading a book that tells you what you're doing wrong. I mean, you know, I hear this all the time with my book, Dirty Diets, where people will read it and think they have a so-called perfect diet, and then they'll, you know, email me or write me and say, wow, you know, I had no idea I was doing all of these things wrong. Or what I often say, you know, stepping on the same landmines over and over again, because that's what you have to navigate when you're looking at the body's ability to use fat as energy. And we don't think of it in terms of that. You know, we think about metabolism in the general sense of the word, of how effective you are at being able to either burn or slow or not be able to burn calories. But it goes a lot deeper than that. It goes down to the ability of every single cell that comprises the human body. How effective is the metabolism in each and every one of those cells at creating energy? And that energy should be coming from fat. If you are a person that is overweight or over fat, as I call it, because we really do need to wake up and differentiate where weight is on the body, and it's only the excess fat that accumulates, you know, especially around the midsection, that creates the majority of problems. But if we are someone who is overweight or over fat, as I say, then those are individuals that are not doing the right things, and they're sending the wrong hormonal messages, and they're continuously creating a fat storage response system in their body. But if you're someone that's not struggling, or you've been able to magically all of a sudden get rid of the extra weight or the fat and not have it come back in a relatively short period of time, there's not a lot of individuals that know how to do that, unfortunately. But if you are one of those individuals, then you have cracked the code. You figured out how to send the right hormonal messages to the body that allows fat to be broken down to become an energy source, so that at the end of the day, you look better, but you feel better, and you perform better as well. And everything that I talk about is about looking, feeling, and performing our best. But the magic in that is accessing this stuff that nobody seems to know how to access, and that's the body fat. And it's as simple as learning how to send the messages to break the fat down, to make that fat become energy, so that you can do everything that you take for granted.
Brad, last week I was listening to a study that was on, it was online or was on, anyways, these investigators talked to some students and some, you know, I guess a cross-section of people. And they asked them two questions, or they asked them one question. Is weight gain related to exercise, or is weight gain related to what you're eating, nutrition?
Sure.
And, most people said that weight gain is related, the majority of people, so a slight majority of people said weight gain was related to lack of exercise.
Right.
What's your take on that?
I completely disagree. Listen, exercise is no longer an option if you want to lead a very healthy life. Is it important for fat loss? It plays a role. It plays a much smaller role than a lot of people realize, because not everybody's doing the right kind of exercise. And the right kind of exercise is very hard to do. It's a very high impact, short duration type of activity where you really, really have to push the metabolism to extremes, but for very short intervals. And not a lot of people know how to do that. Not a lot of people want to do that, because it's not easy. You have to love exercising to make that happen. But on the other side of the coin, and I write about this, there's a full chapter on it in Dirty Diets, and this form of exercise is called HIIT, which is H-I-I-T, High Intensity Interval Training. And people can learn how to do this, believe it or not, and this is backed by research, what I'm saying here, in as little as a four-minute workout. They should be effective by doing the right type of activity to be able to burn calories more efficiently for many, many hours after that four-minute activity. That's how effective this kind of exercise is. Now, I'm not saying people should just go and do 4 minutes, because I don't think that's that's enough. But I don't think a lot of people really need much more than 20 minutes, three, four, maybe five times a week. 20 minutes, man, almost anybody can find 20 minutes to do almost anything. You waste 20 minutes before you even realize what you're doing. You're probably wasting 20 minutes just by checking your emails every few seconds when you don't really have to do that. The point is, exercise will help maintain weight loss, but it's not going to make any significant dent in the amount of fat that people are carrying in order to really see this incredible response. So if you're just counting on exercise, forget it. It's not going to work. With diet, proper diet, because these hormones need the proper signals, and the signals come from the foods that you choose to eat every single day, that is what stimulates the proper hormonal response or the wrong hormonal response, which is making you fat or allowing you to stay lean. The exercise is just basically exacerbating that. So you can exacerbate a really good condition. You can make it even that much better through the exercise, but you need the diet in place, and that doesn't mean going on a restricted caloric intake diet. That's not going to work for anybody either. But if you're eating the right foods that are being that are sending the right messages, once again, this is exactly what Dirty Diets is all about, and then you couple that with the right kind of exercise, you're just going to speed your results. That's what you're going to do. But the other way around, nobody's going to see enough of a change. You would have to spend pretty much half the day on a treadmill in order to burn a significant amount of calories to be able to really see an indent in the amount of fat that you have. And the major problem here is that when you do exercise like that, one of the caveats to that is your appetite goes through the roof sometimes, so people end up actually eating more.
Yeah, those are good points. I know in the summer when I cycle, I definitely burn fat because I do it in the morning, so for before breakfast. But the upside is that, or the downside is that I'm craving food. I'm craving carbohydrates all day, but it is a good fat burner.
Yeah.
Brad, the thing that that question about about exercise and about nutrition. Your response was interesting too, because that's exactly what the researchers were saying, the people that did the research, because what they were saying is that most people think it's exercise, but it is really nutrition and what we're putting in our body that's making the biggest difference, and the food companies are really conspiring against us.
Well, there's a lot more than the food companies, but absolutely the food companies are conspiring against us. And, we're not talking about the companies that are truly interested in the health of our citizens or the nutritional, the nutritional profile of our citizens. We're talking about companies that just want to sell more product because they make a lot more money. And how are they going to make more money? You're going to eat more of their product. So by doing that, they've got to make really tasty foods. And the way to do that, to create, even more of a craving and hunger response in the human body, and all of these people know it, these foods are not made by nutritional professionals by any means. They're made by marketing professionals, because that's the kind of industry we're in. And we have to understand that these are high sugar foods with the wrong kind of fats. They're not high protein foods, because if they were, we wouldn't be eating tons of them, because it would start to balance the hormonal craving response in the body.
Brad, hold that thought, because when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about cravings.
Sounds great.